Hello, everybody, and welcome back to the seventh episode of the Creepy Cove Community Church. Thank you so much for dropping by. I do hope you enjoy tonight's service. And just as a reminder, if you want more extra content, do check out our Patreon options at patreon.com/creepycove. Not only do you get lots of extras, including physical merchandise, but you also get access to a whole bunch of bonus content, including 178 audio episodes of in-depth horror reviews, and a brand new podcast called the Peter Laws Podcast, which comes to you every Tuesday and Thursday. The Tuesday edition looks at strange news and bizarre things that are going on around the world. I also share personal news in that and also chat a little bit about behind the scenes of Creepy Cove. And then also on the Thursdays, it's kind of reviews and checking out some of the latest films that are available for you to enjoy. So I'd love you to check that Patreon program out. One more thing before we start today is I've kind of realized, right, that some people just simply may not have a clue of who the characters are who appear in each episode. So I'm going to experiment by just giving you a quick heads up on what's going to happen in the episodes. And so today in our service, we will be joined by a lady called Dani Arda. She's a young woman from the 2019 film Midsommar. And in that film, she visits a summer festival in Sweden and discovers both trauma and revelation. She's a troubled soul, and we're going to meet her in the service today. Well, without further ado, let's stop chatting in the car park. The service is about to start.
Our church sits in a cold place, at the very edge of a windswept cliff. Here, we overlook the notorious community of Creepy Cove, a haunted, mysterious fishing town by the sea. It is a place where every horror movie actually happened. We have served the spiritual and spooky needs of the Cove for centuries, but now we invite you, our special friend, to join us. So come on in, shake off the rain, because the After Dark service is about to begin. This is Creepy Cove Community Church. We bid you welcome.
Yes, she's back. Yes, I've seen her. She's in the back. She's gonna take it off. One second.
Well, good evening, everybody, and welcome back to our wonderful church. We love having you join us from wherever you happen to be in the world. And if you are listening at home, then please do be assured that I am now swaying my hand in an internationally recognized symbol of greeting and goodwill. Ah, I see that you have returned the gesture. Splendid. I'm glad that you didn't leave me hanging. As the medieval peasant said to the gallowsman after stealing a crust of bread from Parson Smythe. See, Christians can be humorous. Well, just a little quick notice before we introduce our special guest. We have a myriad of toilet options here at the church. No matter how you identify, you will find a throne that fits your derriere. So please note, however, that the third toilet cubicle in the lobby area is broken. It started to gurgle and spit black slime this very morning, and we're not entirely sure why, so please refrain from using it. And if you do happen to see a long skeletal hand emerge from that particular latrine, please resist high-fiving it, no matter how deep the temptation. For hygiene isn't just what Richard Pryor said when he arrived for work. I know, I'm on fire today. But no, hygiene is a noble goal for any toilet facility, even here at Creepy Cove. So please do resist the third toilet cubicle for now.
What about the demons? I don't want demons help me bottom.
Oh, gosh, who does? Yes, don't worry, Frank, because the adjacent cubicles have been certified as demon-free. But to be safe, be sure to check our toilet demon inspection sheet on the walls. They're updated on the hour and every hour. Well, we'll say some prayers for the third toilet after the service, and I'm sure we'll sort it all out in a Jiffy Johnson, but for now, avoid. Well, why don't we find out what's happening in the world of Creepy Cove in a little section I like to call What's Happening, Lord?
What's Happening?
This evening, we are so, so happy to welcome Danny Arda back with us. That's right, she's back in the Cove. As many of you will know, a few years ago, Danny was a regular attender of our youth group here, and she, along with her sister... She was a young adult leader together, but yes, I'll move on. But Danny was very involved until last year when she left the Cove all together. And she went away on a backpacking trip that changed her life, I hear. So she attended. Now, what is it called again? Let me check the Spring Harvest. The Midsummer Festival. Oh, sounds great. Now she lives out there in sunny Sweden, but she's popped back to the Cove for just a few days, and we're so, so happy that she's taken the time to join us for our service. So, Danny, do come up. What a pleasure. A pleasure to have you back. Well, Danny, it's lovely to see you again, if only for a short time.
Hey, guys.
Oh, you called us guys. You're still talking the lingo of the youth, I see.
Yeah. How's it going?
Oh, trendy. How's it going?
Nice.
Now, last year you went backpacking with your friends to the Midsummer Festival in Sweden, of all places. What a wonderful experience. And I hear that you found now a new home for yourself there.
Mm-hmm.
Ah, the footloose and fancy-free lives of the young. I envy you. So, we understand you attended this special festival called Midsummer, and it appears to have rubbed off on your style. For here you are with a brand new look, which looks most fashionable, I must say. I adore that flowery headdress and the lightweight swishing gown. It's the talk of the town. Now, it's delightful, and I'm sure it's all the rage with the youngsters in Sweden. It speaks of great pageantry.
I see what you mean about the pageantry.
Yes, and so, Danny, did you have the time of your life there in Midsummer?
Yeah.
Danny, were you all right? I said, did you enjoy your time in Sweden?
I didn't quite finish, but they're giving
trembling.
Me a break.
Forgive me, please. I was under the impression that your trip to Midsummer was a great success, that you...
Some ominous bullshitness, torture, and I lean on it like, what if I have overwhelmed him?
Him? Do you mean your boyfriend? Baggage. I thought you had a good time out there.
No, not if I went too far, if I leaned too much.
Oh, if you're talking about what happened to your boyfriend, perhaps you're better off without him. But... Listen, you clearly look melancholy, but that's okay, because Creepy Cove is not the place that insists on smiles at all times. We must be authentic. And you don't have to tell us about the details of your trip if you prefer not to.
Thank you.
Well,
yeah.
Now I understand you're back in town to pick up some of your friends. I hear you're taking some of them back to Midsummer this year for them to experience this... fun.
I guess so, yeah.
Yes.
And we'll actually be arriving on my birthday.
Your birthday? Oh, gosh, Danny, you've fallen. Please, just sit and take a breath. It's better. You know, Danny, how about we move on? And here's a suggestion to pep you up a little bit. How about at the end of our service, you show our children's group that funny old bear costume you brought in your car? I'm sure it would tickle them if you stomped about at the end and made a comedy bear routine. Everybody loves a comedy bear routine. It's lovely to see your little smile coming through again, Danny. Thank you. And listen, we applaud our members who step out and discover the wide world. And so we wish you well. But Danny, look at me now, Danny. We hope you can always feel held here and that this can be home to you. Okay?
Oh, no, you're right. I just needed to be reminded. Thank you.
You are loved and valued, okay?
Okay.
Never, ever I'll forget that.
I'm very lucky to have you.
Oh, and we, you. And hey, I just had a little thought. We now broadcast our services via the podcast medium. And so you might be able to access it over in Sweden on our station. That might help.
Beautiful.
Well, thank you, Danny. And we look forward to the comedy bear routine. I can hardly wait. I just love bears with their cute little faces and their staring eyes.
Oh, I'm going to just go to the bathroom. Thank you.
Oh, of course. Oh. poor girl. Please, oh, please, everybody, could you put your hands together for Dana? And just give her a little space and we'll
Rupert,
be there for her.
She's tipped in my backpack.
So what? We all vomit. Look, let's That's just move on. Is it really appropriate to sing right now? Oh, okay. Well, we now come to a time of reading, and it is our pleasure to invite Mr. Spuggy, who is going to read from the Bible for us this evening. Mr. Spuggy, if you will.
It's me. Here I come.
Yes. Take your time.
All right. I am. All right. Yeah, Rupert, nice to see you. Nice to see everyone else as well. It's always good to come up in there, read to you from the old Bible and that, eh? And if you didn't mind, like, Rupert, I just want to say, oi, Danny, listen, man, we're all here for you, all right, Henny? So don't freak out, even if you got those weird flowers on your head, man. We're going to accept you, just the weird guns. Well, listen, all that, by the way, like, let us know what the beer's like in Sweden at this midsummer festival, like, because I'm telling you, if the beer's anything like the lasses out there, all I can see is, where's me passport?
Mr. Spaggy, no, that's inappropriate.
Is it?
Yes.
I do have a passport, like.
No.
Got me picture and everything?
No, I don't mean that.
But me smile looks a bit wonky in the picture, like, me hair's sticking up like I'm the fabled unicorn, which is not the look you want when you're going on holiday.
Could we continue?
I'll read the reading.
The Bible, yes.
Well, obviously, I'm going to read it, and it's what you do with the reading. You're not going to xylophone the reading, are you? You've got to read the reading.
No, you're going to read it. Are you going to read it?
Sorry, right, here we go.
Thank you.
Right, this reading's from the Bible, obviously, and it's from the book of Matthew. Nah, that's not Matthew who serves the tea at the end. Like, that's a different Matthew altogether. Now, this is the book of Matthew from the New Testament. Though, to be honest, it's 2,000 years old. That's not very new,
Mr. Spuggy,
is it?
Well,
anyway, chapter 6, verse 25 to 35. It's all about worrying and how you deal with worry. You should listen to this, Reuben, I reckon.
Oh, what do you mean?
Sorry, mate. Can I crack on? I'm trying to do Bible reading here, man. You keep distracting us. Anyway, so I'm only having yawn. Right, here we go. Here's the Bible reading from the book of Matthew. Therefore, I tell you, that's Jesus talking, by the way, though obviously Jesus didn't have a jolly accent like this one, because otherwise he'd be like, Father, forgive them, they didn't know what they're doing, like,
Time, please.
Here we go. So Jesus says, don't worry about your life, what you'll eat and what you'll drink. Don't worry about your body, what you'll wear, even if you got flowers on your head, love. Sorry, I added that bit, like. Anyway, Jesus goes on and says, is not life more than food, and is not the body more than clothes? That's it. Look at the birds of the air, he says. He says, do they not sow and reap and store away in barns? And yet your heavenly Father feeds them. I wonder what he feeds them with. Probably gives the birds a kebab.
Oh,
I love kebabs. Bet they lap up a saveloy.
Oh, please.
Okay. Here we go. Your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much more valuable than them? Can any one of you, by worrying, add a single hour to your life? And why do you worry about your clothes? Look at the flowers of the field, man. Ah, flowers, there you go. Look at the flowers of the field there. They do not labour or conserve it. No, sorry. Oh. They do not labour or spin. Yeah, I tell you that not even Solomon in all his splendour was dressed like one of these. And if that's how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today and tomorrow's thrown in a fire, who does that like? Who throws grass in the fire?
I do.
You put it in the recycling.
Throw you in the fire.
Throw it in the fire.
I'm sorry.
He, that's God, not much more clothe you a little faith? So don't worry, saying, what am I going to eat? What we going to drink? What we going to wear? Because the pagans run after all these things. And your heavenly Father knows that you need them. But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, And all these things I gotta be giving to you as well. So don't worry about tomorrow, cause tomorrow's gonna worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. Ain't that the truth, everyone? Right? What's it? Rain over and out.
Hallelujah.
Jeez, everyone. Catch you later.
Thank you, Mr. Spaggy. 9 verses in 5 whole minutes. A record, I'm sure.
What do you mean, like?
Well, Peter is now going to come and preach a sermon to us. So, please, as ever, if church or spirituality is not your cup of tea, then please feel free to ignore these elements completely. But one hopes that if you listen in, you may find something of amusement, interest, or mild intrigue. I don't know. Give it a go. Well, Peter, it's over to you.
Thank you very much, Rupert, and also to Mr. Spuggy. We're going to get started straight away by diving into this service's sermon. Oof. That was the best timed sermon chimes I've done so far, I think. Let me get started by saying this. There is a song that has been described as the most optimistic song ever written. Does anyone know what it is?
Happy Halloween.
Oh, yes, that is a fantastic song. But no, the one I was thinking of was actually written during World War I to help the troops stay positive, but it continued into World War II. And maybe you may have even heard it in Creepy Cove, but it's a song that seems to have kind of enthused people when they were in tough times. And the song is called, famously, Pack Up Your Troubles. You heard that one? So the song goes like this. Pack up your troubles in your old kit bag and smile, smile, smile. While you've a Lucifer to light your...
I am Lucifer. You have summoned me.
No, we haven't summoned you. It's just a song lyric. Lucifer is an old name for a matchstick.
I see.
Okay.
I beg your pardon.
No problem.
Bye-bye.
Bye. I'll continue. While you've a Lucifer to light your fag...
Oh, no, Peter, no. We don't use that word.
That's a name of an English name for a cigarette. Oh, and this song is complex. Right, again. While you've a Lucifer to light your fag, then smile, boy, that's the smart style. Can't even say it now. What's the... this is the bit you need to hear. Oh. What's the use of worrying? It never was worthwhile. So pack up your troubles in your old kit bag and smile, smile, smile. Well, despite a few tricky lyrics, it's a nice enough song. Kind of makes an intriguing point at the end. What is the use of worrying? It never was worthwhile. So that even in the midst of the horror of war, right, this song was supposed to remind people to stay positive, which is a nice message, I guess. But got a question. Do you find that easy when life gets stressful and worrying? Can you just like listen to a little happy-go-lucky tune and throw all your worries away? Well, I'm afraid it's not that easy, is it, for most of us? In fact, there's a terribly tragic story behind that song, which shows that it really is not easy. In 1942, Felix Powell, who wrote the happy melody that we've just sung to Pack Up Your Troubles, he dressed himself in the uniform of the Peace Haven Home Guard, and he shot himself through the heart with his rifle. Yeah, there came a point for him where his kit bag just wasn't big enough to hold all his worries. And so, I want to talk to you about worry tonight with realism, with that sense that, our worries can get really great and can get on top of us. And so we want to try and work out how can we deal with those things. And right at the very start, by the way, I want to make a massively important distinction. There is like a huge difference between general worry and clinical depression or anxiety. You know, when I talk about dealing with worry this evening, I'm really talking more about like general feelings of worry and stress. Clinical depression is completely different, and that requires medical support. And I say that just because I've sadly met some Christians who seem to think that if someone has depression, they can just pray or, you know, read the Bible or something or listen to a happy worship song. And then if they think positively, it will vanish. Well, that's not good advice. It also ignores the simple fact that if God exists, maybe he can help us through science and medicine. So why ignore that? So yes, please do understand. If you suffer from clinical depression or anxiety, then I have no expertise on that topic, and I will need to bow to your wisdom on that. But what I do have expertise in is worry. you know, of letting things get under your skin and of finding myself distracted from kind of getting the best out of my life because I'm concerned and sometimes overly concerned with things that sap my energy. And that's the sort of stuff I want to look at this evening. Now, this stuff, worry, is everywhere in the world, and it's a major problem for some of us. And I think it's a bit rich to assume that we could just pack it away and ignore it. What are you worried about today? Your health? Your job? Your bank account? Your looks? Some of us might be worried about that sort of thing. Catch a glimpse of ourselves in a mirror and go, oh no. Maybe you're worried about the state of the world. Maybe you have a secret worry that is burning a hole in your heart. Maybe you have some serious situations. You're facing prejudice, or you're facing unfair treatment or bullying. You may have many, many things to be rightly worried about. And maybe you're living in a constant state of worry because there's a lot to worry about in this world. And everyone does worry, including me. It's not like when you become a Christian or indeed even a church minister that you enter a special category of humanity. Christians are not taken to a specialist church hospital where their worry cortex is removed. No, they are worried just like everybody else about all sorts of different things. And so I do hope that's the first encouragement to say that when you worry, you are not alone. You might think you are. You might be listening to my voice now thinking that you are the only one in the room who is struggling with that specific issue. And, you know, you might find that there are others who are just very good at hiding their worries. Maybe they want to appear confident and so they don't let it out. But there are plenty of people who you would have no idea that when the door closes, that they also shiver at night with sometimes the heavy drag of worry. In fact, 38% of people say they worry about something every single day. So it's an absolute real factor of our lives, and it affects us. But if we let worry take over us, take hold of us, it can really sap the energy and turn the colors down of our life. And so in this passage, Jesus tries to address this and tries to explore how we can deal with worry. And the first thing to say is that he tells us to look out for it. I mean, if you're walking down the Creepy Cove High Street and you take your foot off the curb about to step into the street and someone like shouts, look out! It's a pretty good idea to take that seriously, there and then. Because there's a 58 Plymouth Fury called Christine hurtling down the street on fire and she's about to run you over. So you pay attention to that stuff then, you don't wait till later. I reckon Jesus says this with a kind of sense of urgency about it. I think he sees this as important. His words come from his famous Sermon on the Mount, which some scholars think it was like one long sermon that Jesus preached, or maybe it was a collection of all of his scattered sermons, like knitted together in a kind of Jesus' greatest hits. Who knows? But the point is the content. And in this sermon, he talks about some pretty major topics. Divorce, for example, gets two verses in the Sermon on the Mount. Murder gets five verses. These are pretty significant subjects. But the topic of worry gets nine verses. And if you look at the sermon on a whole, it's more like kind of 21 verses, which are about this subject. So I don't think like this is like Jesus slinking up with a kind of take it or leave it YouTube tutorial with ukulele music playing while he says, hi guys, just letting you know, it might be nice if you worried a little less. Now let me show you how to make slime. No, I think it's a bit of a stronger approach. In fact, in verse 25, he says, I tell you, do not worry about your life. And he uses the same phrasing as he does with the rest of the Sermon on the Mount. Like when he says, do not murder, it's the same phrasing. So why is he so strong on this? Well, I think he realizes that worry has the power to, suck all energy out of our life and can tear us in two different directions. So let's have a slightly closer look at what he's saying here. And remember that when we read the New Testament in English, it was based on the original version, which came to us in Greek. And you can lose things in the translation. And it can be sometimes helpful to check what the original Greek text says, because then you can get the nuance of the words and not get confused by the modern English words. An example of this actually would be, did you spot the bit where it says, when Jesus says, the pagans run after all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them. Again, the English translation uses this word pagans, which might make us think of, some people might think people who follow the spirituality of paganism. I've got friends who do that. Or people might think, oh, pagans is a kind of derogative term. But actually the original Greek simply just means the Gentiles or people who are not part of the Jewish faith. So while the English translation has this, I think, a loaded term like pagans, it's kind of like, you know, the Gentiles, the people who are not part of that kind of Jewish tradition or faith. So the main word, though, that I want to look at is obviously the word for worry, because that's the one we're talking about. And when you look at the original Greek translation of what Jesus said that day, they use the word merenmeneo, which actually is a very interesting word, because on one level, it's not so much like about general worries, but it's more about when we let intense worry distract us or control us. I think this distinction is very important because you could easily read Jesus' words here thinking that we're not allowed to worry about anything. You know, like if you've got a driving test tomorrow, or you've had some worrying news from the doctor, or maybe your daughter has just brought a little doll home called Annabelle and it keeps staring at you, it is fair enough that you should worry about certain situations in life. So I don't think you're committing a sin or something for being concerned about things. Worrying is sometimes a natural and correct response to life. But Jesus is talking about this thing called merenmeneo, which is actually a bit more specific. It's about when we become so distracted and fragmented by our worries that our lives become kind of difficult and totally unfocused. And I think that's what worry, this type of worry does. It's when we get distracted from living our life. And being distracted is incredibly annoying. You know, you're watching, you know, a great horror movie on TV and your kids come walking in going, why is her head spinning? You know, you're like, go away, I'm trying to watch this film. And also you probably shouldn't be watching this. Mind you, I watched The Exorcist pretty early, but anyway, I digress. But what I mean is distraction is irritating, isn't it? But distraction isn't just irritating, it's dangerous if what you're doing is important, like, I don't know, like flying a plane or driving a car. Apparently, in the UK, 650,000 people crash their cars every year because bees, wasps, and flies get into the car with them. So distraction can be dangerous. So tell me, is your life important? Actually, don't answer that for now, because despite what you might think, I believe it is important, right? You know, you might not think it, but I believe it, your life is very important and very much valuable. So I think that's why Jesus has the urgency, because he's saying, you know, like your life matters. And so I don't want you to miss out on what a cool life you have, or what a cool potential that you have, and what a wonderful person you are by losing track. So that's what I think worry does, merimeneo does. It has this habit of buzzing around our head and sort of sapping the energy from our life. It keeps us awake at night. It keeps us, we're gripping the duvet as it drones on like a wasp smacking against the pane of glass at the window. It fragments us, it distracts us, and stops us living our life to the full. And so to help us, Jesus starts to point to things that have an unfragmented view of the world. Did you spot that bit? When he says to look out in a more literal sense, he points to the birds and the flowers, yes, in verse 26. When I first read that, I thought, wow, he's being like super random. You know, like if you're having a conversation where someone's talking about something deep and then you go, wow, look at that cow over there. Isn't that cool? And at first I thought he was just being random, but actually when I think about it, it's actually very profound. In the midst of this discussion of worry and distraction, he points to nature. Because I think that's the great thing about nature, birds and flowers and the grass. They have like a great focus. They kind of stick with the plan for their life. When was the last time you saw a starling or a swift crying on a street corner because they couldn't ride a bike? It doesn't really happen because birds and flowers and grass are beautifully unfragmented. They do what they were designed to do. They fly and grow. There's this kind of wonderfulness about the simplicity of their lives. And yet we humans are very complicated by comparison. Often, because we allow our focus to be so fractured into so many different things, and we expect to be everything to all people. Some of us lie there at night worrying about all sorts of, some people just worry about they can't afford the latest iPhone or gadget because, you know, that's what you need. I must have that to be a full person. Or we toss and turn, reliving conversations because we're convinced that there was a disaster there of some sort. We said something wrong, or someone said something offensive to us, we go over and over it. We scroll through Instagram or Facebook or whatever, thinking, oh, I need to be more like this. I need to be more like that. It's almost like the scene in The Stepford Wives, the original, where one of the robot wives has a kind of overload after being stabbed. And she's stumbling around in her kitchen and she's saying, I just want to give you coffee. I thought we were friends. I just want to give you coffee. I thought we were friends. And you're just thinking, oh my word, she's like falling apart and she needs help. And she's kind of fixated on trivia when actually she has really serious problems and it's all just coming together and her mind is all over the shop. It's like horrible, but it's a great example of Merrin Mineo, what this distraction can do to us. And I just wonder, is that you at the moment? Like, do you feel like you're kind of bouncing around in distress and being pushed from one side to the other? If so, oh man, like, it's horrible. I just totally hear you, and it sucks, and it's crap. And I just know what it's like. And I just want to encourage you to check. Like, are you stressed over things that really matter as much as you think? Now, maybe you are, and you've got to say that. You know, you might be facing absolutely legitimate worrying things, from health problems to financial challenges to shocking situations of prejudice or unfairness or bullying. So, you know, I get that. Those are quite legitimate things to worry about. But sometimes we also pile in all of these other things that actually are not absolute essentials, but we put them into the soup that make us worry. Let me just say that I've lost a surprising amount of peace of mind in my life, where I've been wrestling with things that I now realize were not such a big deal. Jesus, on the other hand, comes and says in the midst of this discussion that we should look to nature and be inspired, especially because God cares for nature and looks after it. Basically, I think he wants us to be inspired by the undistracted personality of nature and to model that in our lives. And we need to, in a sense, kind of remind ourselves and work out who we are and what we're meant to be doing in the world and what we don't have to be doing in the world. I think so much of our stress comes, right, from when we try to become like a mythical version of ourselves, when we try to kind of live up to what other people think we should be like. The birds and the plants, they just discover their identity and they focus on that and they are free to be that. And as long as we strive to be something we're not, we become fragmented and we lose peace. So when Jesus comes in to tell us not to worry, I just don't think he wants us that for our lives, because he values our lives and our lives are valuable, therefore. And so he wants us to get the best out of it. And of course, like I always say here at Creepy Cove, even if you're not religious or believe in God and faith and stuff like that, it doesn't really matter in a sense. You know, you could push all of this religion stuff aside. I still think human beings are valuable and look for meaning and peace in their lives and excitement and adventure and all those sorts of stuff. And worry does simply have this way of pulling that energy down, which is annoying, heartbreaking, and can sometimes ruin our lives. And so in the midst of this, through Jesus' words, or just, you know, in your own heart, be encouraged that you're not alone in your worries. In fact, some of you might be really shocked and amazed at how many people are going through the exact same silent struggles as you are. Heck, even Jesus himself gets so stressed at one point, right, in the Gospels, that the night before his crucifixion, he's so stressed out that the Bible says that he sweat blood. Can you imagine that? So incessant worry is a factor in our lives to one degree or another. Some people don't worry that much. Some people worry a lot. And it has the power to distract us from getting the best out of our life, our relationships, our work, our creative pursuits, our leisure. And so perhaps we should be inspired to look at the focus of nature and see if we could focus on us being us for a change and not trying to be something that everyone else says we ought to be. Well, to help that sink in, we're going to have a short time of prayer and meditation, and it's my pleasure to invite John Russell, Mary Henry, and also Emily is going to join in with guitar. Thank you, guys. Thanks. Again, if you want to skip this sort of bit, do feel free, but you might find it a helpful way of just taking some time out to think. Okay. So just spend a moment in quiet wherever you are. slow down and start to pay attention to where you are. Look around yourself. Perhaps you're at home or in the car or out and about, it doesn't matter. Wherever you are, slow down and really look. Now I want you to imagine all the other people who have shared this exact same space as you. People who have been in this room or walked this pavement or this trail, not only now, but in the past and in the future. There have been many, many more people in this space than just you. And with all those people in mind, let's pray. God, we want to thank you for every single person who has ever been in this current space where I find myself, and for everyone who ever will be in the future. Because we know that each one of those people, including ourselves, are complex human beings with great dreams and various opportunities, but also we are people with worries. And we might never know what worries have floated in the heads of the people who've been in this space. But we know that if they're human, they would have had that buzzing distraction of worry throughout their lives in one degree or another. Just like we have it, perhaps right now. And so in this space we find ourselves in, can you firstly give us a sense of connection and solidarity with every other human being who may have appeared like they had it all together, but actually we're racked with worries that we did not know about. We pray for anyone who's stressed tonight or anxious. And we pray for you, Dunny. For ourselves, if that's us. We pray for anyone who's struggling with their mental health. Pray you'll bring the right sort of help at the right time from doctors or friends, from culture, from our faith or indeed from our non-faith. Whatever we value, just let that speak to us with encouragement. And help us when we struggle to focus on the path ahead, on our path. And help us not get distracted by the negative. And so we look at this space again. Look around yourself again. At the tree, the chair, the steering wheel, the desk, the bed, the bath, the window, bird. Help us to be inspired by the things we're looking at right now. Thank you that this chair doesn't get stressed because it isn't a desk. Thank you that that tree over there has confidently been focusing on being a tree for many years. God, would you help us to be inspired by the simple focus of creation and help us to get better at recognizing Merimeneo. And in the coming weeks and months and years, guard us from distraction so that our hearts might be calmed. Amen. Well, thank you so much for listening to that. I hope you found that interesting or helpful. And of course, if you didn't find it interesting or helpful, that's completely fine. And by the way, if you ever hear me say words like creation or stuff like that, you know, if you don't believe in God, then, you know, just ignore that sort of thing and just see a tree as a tree. But yeah, just pointing that out. Right. Well, we're coming to the end of our service now. And so it's my pleasure to invite the band up, and they're going to play for us a song which they have composed specifically for this service, which is about distraction. I think it's called Distraction. So those guys are going to come up now and, what? Pardon? Yeah. What? Oh, fantastic. Check this out, right, everyone? Dani Arda is going to join the band because she's brought her guitar with her. You remember that kind of 80s guitar stroke keyboard that she bought at that eBay thing once? This is cool. Are you going to play?
Yeah, I mean, I guess so. That's yes. Not completely ruining your guys' plans.
Whoa, no way. That's fantastic. No. Well, we now hand over then to the band featuring Dani on guitar. and the song's called Distraction. Oh my goodness, you're so amazing on the good old guitar. Well, listen everyone, thank you for coming to Creepy Cove once again. Do spread the word, let people know about the church. They'd all be welcome to come. I hope you all have a fantastic couple of weeks till we see you again. But for now, we're looking forward to Danny's comedy bear routine outside. But wait, Danny, just so you know, Rupert has offered to do it instead if you're not feeling it.
Thank you.
So that's fine. In fact, Rupert's out there already waiting. He's got everything set up, so he's very excited about it. So anyway, until next time, stick around for cocktails after the service, including our Shadmock Shandy, which is a new drink we've introduced. You have to take that through a straw, lips in the whistling position, naturally. Anyway, thanks for coming, everybody. Bye. So much for tonight. I know the thing with the bear was a bit much, so I don't know. I just thought, as a way of dealing with the bear stuff, I wondered if, have you ever seen the Yogi Bear movie? It came out in 2010.
That sounds fun.
Yeah, I thought it was underrated, and I also wondered if Yogi Bear could maybe be like an icon of how maybe whatever happened with the bear in summer, midsummer wasn't that bad.
That's an interesting symbol.
Yeah, I thought so. So I've got you this, Yogi Bear tote bag.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, listen, you can have it if you like it.
Whoa, who's that one?
That's Boo Boo Bear, I think. Yeah, I think Justin Timberlake played him, which I thought was quite a bold choice, but anyway, it's yours if you want it.
Thank you.
Cool. Well, how did you learn how to play the guitar like that? Because that was amazing.
So you know I'm nuts.
That was great. I loved the jump at the end. Hey, everybody. Thank you so much for listening to another episode of Creepy Cove Community Church. Thanks for your support. If you'd like to know how to support the show more, because, you know, obviously it does take quite a while to make, and I want to keep it free and ad-free. So if you want to know how you can keep the show going and support it, then check out our Patreon program. Just visit patreon.com/ Creepy Cove, and there's lots of extras and exclusives too. One of those will be the Peter Laws podcast, which comes out every Tuesday and Thursday now. So I'll see you patrons there, and hopefully we'll get a few extras to join our happy little troop. But until the next service, thank you for coming. Have a great couple of weeks. Bye.